Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. And happy New Year's to everyone. I hope you enjoyed it and were safe and all that good stuff. And, you know, 2025 is going to be our year, y'all. I mean, we're going to get justice for Haley. And today I'm going to be continuing the series, hashtag justice for Haley. And what I've want to do, first of all, I want to apologize for the first part of the audio when they were taking this DNA and all that last week. That, you know, Cindy did the best she could with the body cam audio. Patreon convicts, you would have got to see it and hear it and understand it better. But more importantly, when the second part of last week's episode, when Stella and Miss Barbara go to the jail on purpose to confront Brooks Cleary about what happened, not confront him. They were trying to basically get him to hang himself, get more information, and they knew the cops were watching it, right? The detectives. So they do this days after she's basically, I mean, I'm calling it a murder. She's murdered. She's shot in the head. Okay. And they do it. And now I want to tell you all the lies that he said in that 30-minute interview, all right? And then I'm going to play the second jailhouse interview, and then on the next episode, I'll open it just like this episode and tell you, and you'll hear it. I mean, Patreon convicts, you'll get to see it, how he acts and when he's with them and everything else, and he just continues to lie and change the story in each jailhouse interview. And it's very, very important. And it's one of the things that is absolutely going to help us get a murder indictment. So when I'm just gonna start the episode. Anyway, Happy New Year's and let's rock 2025, justice for Haley. So they go into the jail, and you heard it on the last episode, and they said, Brooks, what happened? And he said, I don't know. I went into the bedroom to put on a hoodie, and that's a lie, okay? We know that if Patreon convicts, you got to see the videos. He's in a short sleeve champion, like, sweatshirt or t-shirt, and that's the one that had the blood on. He never put a hoodie on, okay? He said he went in the bedroom, put on a hoodie, then he comes out. He heard a thump. And he comes out and he sees her facing towards the Christmas tree, and he sits down, he holds her in her head, and he holds her head in his hands, and he sees he has blood on him, and he's like, baby, what's wrong? You know, what's wrong? And then he hears a knock at the door, and it's the fireman, right? Well, guess what, motherfucker? You just totally fucked yourself. Not only on the hoodie, that's a small lie. But when you say you don't know what happened, and the next thing you know, the fireman at the door. Well, hey, idiot, you went downstairs. The downstairs neighbor heard the loud, what I believe to be the gunshot. Yeah, had like 10 or 15 minute break. And then he comes out of the apartment and goes running downstairs, screaming, help, help, give me, you know, somebody call 911, da-da-da-da. And the downstairs neighbor goes up with him, goes upstairs and sees him, you know, holding her. And that's what I played y'all on the 911 call in the first episode. And so he's just totally omits that part, that he actually went downstairs. And first of all, motherfucker, you got a cell phone. Why didn't you call 911? Okay. But he goes downstairs and does all this commotion and gets Austin Meeks to come upstairs and call 911. And he's totally forgetting about all this, that this dude was in his apartment. But he's telling Miss Barbara and Stella, the next thing he knows, firemen are knocking on the door. Bullshit. Okay. Then, okay, y'all, and let me digress for a second. He says he rolls her over and her eyes are open and her pupils were really small. Let me tell you something. And this is not to be morbid, but you have a shotgun blast that goes off inside of your mouth. If it caused such pressure, not only was the back of Haley's head gone, but it caused such pressure that your eyes are going to blow out, for a lack of a better term. I mean, not all the way out of your head, but they certainly don't look normal. And he's just saying he doesn't know what's wrong. And, he's holding her. And then he hears a knock at the door and he runs and it's the fireman. Well, if you know from the 911 call, that's not how it happened. The fireman got there. The door was open. And remember, Austin said, hey, it looks like a fucking murder scene in here, right? And so he's lying about that. So now he's at the door and the firemen are there. And so Stella says, how did you not know? Or he says the firemen got there and they brought him outside, which, you know, that part is true. And then he says, all I saw was her eye was puffy. But then Stella's like, Haley's sister, again, she should have won an Academy Award for not jumping on this dude, right? She's like, how did you not know? And they said she was shot in the mouth. How did you know? He's like, what? And then the fake crying, right? What? I didn't see that. All I saw was her eye was a little puffy. I don't know anything about that. And he says, what the fuck? Why? How? Then he makes a major slip. He says, she would never do anything like that. And then he stops, right? He's alluding to the fact that he is stating that Haley committed suicide, right? And how are you in the apartment? Shotgun, if she did it, and she didn't do it, y'all. There's no way she was on the couch, was where all the blood spatter and everything, her brain and everything was behind the couch. And she gets up from the couch, moves across the apartment, and is laying facing the door. It didn't happen. You know, it just didn't happen. And so Miss Barbara now asks him, why? What happened? What happened? And I think Stella says, did she leave a note? And he was like, I don't know. And he was like, we were just watching some TikToks on our phones. Well, again, if you had your phone, why didn't you call 911? Why did you run downstairs and do all that and get the guy to come upstairs, et cetera? But you're watching TikToks on your phones. You had a couple shots. And he says, again, I don't know what happened. I was in the bedroom and I came out and she's down. And I hold her and couldn't wake her. And I got blood on my hands. And yeah, motherfucker, you got blood on your hands. But he says, I got blood on my hands. And as a matter of fact, I still have blood on my hand. Because I don't want to take it off because it's the last thing I have to remember her by. Get the fuck out of here. And Miss Barbara asked him, what happened that day before? And he was like, everything was fine. And one of them asked, was she happy? And so he's like, yeah, she was happy. And I don't even remember us getting into an argument that day. Okay. Go back to about 8:30 at night when you were arguing so bad that the apartment manager had to come threaten to call the police on you. And you got kicked out of the apartment by Haley and you're sitting on the staircase. And that's where the guy, Patreon convicts, you got to see him on the video. They interviewed him, Buck. And he says, hey, man, are you all right? And he's like, yeah, she kicked me out arguing. Okay. You're lying. You're lying. And he says, sure, we were stressed about, we didn't argue, but sure, we were stressed about bills. That's normal, that's normal. Again, you're not stating about anything that happened. Y'all, I'm going to prove to you more evidence after these jailhouse calls, after he gets done hanging himself, that what really happened that day, because we have the facts, okay? But continuing. And Miss Barbara says, I can't imagine she wouldn't leave us like this. And he's like, no, I know. She was so sweet, right? Come on, man. He said, I don't know what the fuck happened. You know, the crocodile tears. This Miss Barbara, again, I don't know, such a strong woman. She says, did y'all ever talk about what, basically what Haley would want to happen to her, I guess, if she died. And he says, no, not really, but we were supposed to be buried together. And again, Stella says, you don't remember anything that leading up to this or what it caused it? And he's like, no, everything was perfectly fine. And I don't remember any arguments or anything. Y'all, again, I'm going to bring you proof positive of everything that happened that day that you don't know about yet. Okay. And then again, now she's asking him what happened that day. And they ask again, you didn't go anywhere that day? No, she walked to the liquor store. We were just playing on our phones because our internet was out. But she walked to the liquor store and my truck should have been parked there all day. Well, motherfucker, you told the detectives in the interrogation room that y'all drove to the gas station or whatever to get water because your pipes have been frozen. But then you also stated to the cops earlier on in the deal that you took a shower at around 6:30. How in the fuck you take a shower when your pipes are frozen? And now you're saying you never left the apartment at all? And again, I'm going to prove to you where they went that day. But that's going to come later on. He's hanging himself. These jailhouse interviews are so important because every time he changes his story. But you need, when you get done here in the episode, the next episode, I'm going to pick his statements apart and then we'll play the next one. But let's continue. And again, Ms. Barbara asked him, said, you know, what was going on? Basically something to the fact of what was going on because she wouldn't do this to us. And what was going on that led up to this? And he was like, I don't know. I don't remember because when I came out and I saw on the floor, I just blanked. Well, you do remember. And he was like, let me think. Motherfucker, you're thinking too hard. Okay. You're thinking way too hard. And so then he goes on and says, yeah, we were drinking that day, but you know, I don't remember. And then they ask, you know, was she upset or did you hear, you didn't hear anything? And he's like, oh, well, I heard like a thump. And I went in there. And again, he says he remembers this all clearly, but it's not the truth that he, you know, held her in his arms. He said, that's what I always do. I'll pick her up and take her to the bedroom. What the fuck? You knock her out all the time? But then when they asked about hearing the shotgun, or he's like, oh, no, well, a couple times in the past when she gets really mad, I'm paraphrasing y'all, she gets really mad, she would get the shotgun and then I would take it away from her and like, what the fuck are you doing? And she's like, well, I'm just upset. No. Okay. No. That is him trying to lay the foundation for her getting the shotgun and shooting herself, which she didn't do. The evidence proves it. The physical evidence proves it. So y'all, when questioned about it again, this time he says, I went into the bedroom to change and I was changing pants so I could go outside and smoke a cigarette with her, or I could go outside and smoke a cigarette by myself. Wait, motherfucker, just in the beginning of this interview, you said you were putting on a hoodie. You didn't say anything about pants. You want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject, or do they need a challenge to keep them engaged? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies, and adapts to each child, meeting them at their personal level. As a homeschool parent, I can tell you that IXL has been life-saving for my son, WL. He uses IXL every day and allows me to tailor his learning experience based on his specific skills, not just his grade level. If he needs support, IXL finds his current level and helps him build up to where he needs to be. And in areas where he's advanced, IXL propels him forward without any setbacks. What I love most is that IXL uses visuals in its questions and lessons, which really helps WL learn math and science better since he is a visual learner. The interactive practice problems and educational games make learning fun and engaging. With IXL, school is a positive, fun experience. WL enjoys earning awards in the educational games. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. Real Life Real Crime listeners can receive an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to access the most effective learning program at the best price. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? I know Sydney was, and if you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, found in our food, water, and even in our skincare products. These disruptors can wreak havoc on our hormones. Believe me, before Hormone Harmony, I watched Cindy suffer. Not anymore. Hormone Harmony's formula, made only with herbal ingredients, have reduced Cindy's hormonal symptoms, and it helps women of all ages. Then there are the natural hormonal changes our bodies face, such as menopause. While these processes are part of life, they don't have to be uncomfortable. The good news is that you don't have to suffer through it any longer. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts known as adaptogens, designed to help the body cope with stressors, including those chaotic hormonal fluctuations that can disrupt your daily life. Whether it's PMS symptoms like irritability and cravings, or menopause symptoms such as hot flashes and night sweats, Hormone Harmony can help with it all. Happy Mammoth, the creator of Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to improving women's lives by using only high-quality, science-backed ingredients. They make no compromises on quality, ensuring that you receive the best support possible. This isn't just a supplement. It has become a phenomenon. Women are talking about it everywhere, with a bottle of Hormone Harmony sold every 24 seconds. And the most important benefit, women express feeling like themselves again, a sentiment echoed in over 30,000 positive reviews. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com. Don't forget to use the code RLRC for 15% off today, okay? And we know you're lying about the hoodie. I can't prove that you're lying about the pants, but your story's changing. What are we supposed to believe? And he says he comes back out, and he didn't see the shotgun. I don't remember seeing the shotgun anywhere around. I don't remember seeing it. But you know what? That's because the shotgun was hidden underneath clothes, underneath Haley's body. Okay. Again, the physical evidence, the blood spatter, not to sound gory, but her brain and everything was behind the couch and the other side of the apartment, if you will. And it is physically fucking impossible with the injuries she sustained for her to get up. She would have instantly been dead, instantly. And for her to get up, move herself across the room, take the shotgun, hide it underneath some fucking clothes, and be laying in the position she was laying in. Period. Doesn't happen. In the history of the world, can't happen. The laws of physics, the blood spatter on the wall and everything where all her bodily organs were that were ejected in the direction they were ejected in. When that happens, you are not getting up. If your brain is not inside your skull, you are not getting up. Okay. And it was there. And remember the cop saying in one of the episodes saying, oh my God, that's the first time I've seen the whole intact brain in my entire career. And that's because the shotgun blast, she was on the couch and look at the blood, Patreon convicts, look at the videos, look at the blood spatter on the wall, the blowing back upwards from the couch. I hate to keep saying it, but her brain and all the matter was on the backside of the couch. She's across the fucking room, on the floor, on top of the shotgun, which is covered in clothes. Okay? You don't do that. Somebody did it, and there were only two of them in the apartment, and Haley was dead. And then Miss Barbara asked him, she said, there's nothing we can do about it now, but if Haley had grabbed the shotgun before in incidents like this and, you know, basically stating that she was going to hurt herself, why didn't you take the shotgun? Why didn't you get out of the house? And he says, I never thought she would hurt herself. Da, 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 da. You know why? Because she didn't. And then he says, I can't fucking believe this. It feels like a bad dream. And I'm so sorry, y'all. I know this must be killing y'all too. And then they go on, y'all, to talk about, he says, if anybody deserves to go to heaven, it was her. She's the sweetest little thing. And then they go on and talk for a few minutes, but then Miss Barbara's like, I need to know everything about her last day, and she wouldn't do this. And he says, I told him at the police station, I told him, or I asked them, why was she bleeding from her head? Why was she bleeding? Da, 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 da. No, motherfucker, you didn't. We got the videos. You never asked about her. And when they finally confronted you about it, you lost your Jesus and denied everything, you know, and they told you, hey, motherfucker, you got blood on you. Right. And he's like, I asked them about it. Liar, liar, pants on fire. So Miss Barbara asked him, when you picked her up, was she still alive? And he says, no, I don't think so, because that, you know, I felt the back of her head move unnaturally, and her little eye was puffed out, and I kept trying to push it back in with my palm. Okay. This again, y'all. Remember, he goes downstairs to get someone to call 911. He's saying, my girlfriend's had a seizure. It doesn't say anything about the damage to the back of her head or eye or anything else. He's fucking lying. And he knew she was dead because he killed her. And again, Miss Barbara presses and says, what was she saying? You know, what was she doing in the moments that led up to this? And he was like, well, she wasn't mad or anything. I mean, she might have been being a little sassy because she was pouring herself a shot. He said, and I wasn't mad at her. Right. And again, Miss Barbara presses him, what'd y'all talk about, Stella? What'd y'all talk about? And he's like, oh, well, first of all, he says he can't remember anything before. Then he changed it like 20, 30 minutes before. They were talking about fuck the apartment because they're behind on bills and they were going to run away and live in the mountains and live off the land together and not have to worry about any of that. And then they talked about the Bible, y'all. And all they did was hang out all day long and talk and watch TikTok shorts, except for when she walked to the liquor store, right? And then they pressed a little bit further. Miss Barbara's like, she was so happy on Christmas Day when our house, and she's dead 24 hours later, right? Or murdered. And he was like, no, she went to my mom's and she hugged it out with my mom because they had had an argument, and she was happy, and it was just like any other normal day. Nothing. I'm going to prove to y'all he's full of shit. I've already proved it to you by the arguments and the neighbors here and the apartment manager, et cetera, but I'm going to prove it to you what really happened that day on a later episode. And Miss Barbara asked about cremation, and he goes into spiel about, well, in a couple of weeks, we were going to get married at the courthouse and come over and surprise y'all guys with the paperwork, but we weren't going to until the death do us part because we were going to be buried together. And then he says about the cremation parties, like, and he's crying, fake crying, in my opinion, but he's crying and he's thinking about the cremation. He's like, well, I think she'd be okay with that because we could take her to, like, you know, little special places and sprinkle parts of her out. And I think she would enjoy that. How fucking twisted is this cat? And again, Miss Barbara presses him, and rightfully so, I need to know about her last day, her last moments. And he insists it was just a normal day, that they were laughing and playing with the cat and watching the video shorts and didn't want to even leave the apartment, never got into an argument, nothing. Y'all, he's full of shit. I'm going to prove it to you. Y'all, they keep pressing for the details and finally ask, well, was anybody else over at the apartment that day? And he was like, no, no. And he's like, Stella could Snapchat Mazda, his best friend, and I'll explain that to you later on, and see if I even talked to him that day. And I'm going to prove to you, this motherfucker is so full of shit that when after the jailhouse interviews, I'll let him hang himself in these next couple episodes. And I'm going to tell you exactly what they did that day. And yes, Mazda was definitely involved. And he's fucking lying. He's lying. And there are witnesses to where they went and everything that happened. So there's a lot more to the story than you've heard. And again, they keep pressing. And was she excited about, he talks about moving again. Was she excited? And he's like, she's the strongest person I know. And anytime I had trouble, I'd go to her. And yeah, we were planning on moving and da-da-da-da-da. And I never, you know, would have thought this would have happened, right? It was just another normal day. And so, y'all, this is like the base layer of the jailhouse interviews, okay? Now, I'm going to play you the second one now. And it's just a few days later after this. So they've got his original statement, and it's audio and video recorded for Patreon and convicts. But if you want to see the interactions, but they got his initial statements, right? Now, what I'm going to do is play the second, I call them jailhouse interviews, but it's not really an interview. I mean, visit, jailhouse visit. The second jailhouse visit. Now, listen to what he says, okay? And then compare it to what I just told you or to the last episode. I'm going to play this. Listen, or you know what? I'm going to play it in the beginning of the next week's episode. I'm going to dissect it for you again, okay? I'm going to play this for you now. Pay attention and think about what you just heard him say.
Hey. How are you? Okay, how are you?
I'm okay.
What's going on?
I got transferred from the infirmary to a medical dorm, and I'm just sitting here waiting till March 3rd. I have a court date then.
Okay. We had her service on Tuesday. There were tons of people there. Everybody was there.
That's good.
It was hard.
Yeah. Did she get buried or?
No, cremated? We haven't cremated.
Okay.
She's, you know, at the house now, so it's hard.
So you don't remember any signs of her showing that she would have done this?
I mean, there were like a couple of times where we got into an argument where like she would try to pick up the shotgun or something like that, and I would like grab it away from her and be like, what are you doing? Like, stop. And she'd be like, I just don't want to, like, I don't want to do this. And I was like, I know, but we just can't argue, and we got to like figure this out verbally. You can't just jump to conclusions, like, or you can't just.
The day that it happened, you don't remember. Can you stop grasping? You don't remember anything happening?
No, like not really, no. Just, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
Don't remember her being upset or like there wasn't any.
I mean, I think I remember like just the typical like argument that we would get into every once in a while where we stay up a little bit too late and we argue, and then by the next day we're, you know, making up and being like, I'm sorry, I got out of line, like I shouldn't have said that. It was just like one of those typical arguments that we usually just sleep off. I don't even remember what it was about. It was just out of nowhere.
And what, I mean, was it a shotgun?
Hmm?
Was it a shotgun?
Yeah, that's the only one I have.
Like, how did she even do that?
I don't know. I have no idea. No one's told me anything.
The long shotgun?
Yeah, the camouflage one. That's what the police told me when I was getting questioned.
That's what they told you she used? How is that even possible?
I don't know. I mean, I guess, like, if you...
I thought you didn't even have that one anymore.
The camouflage one?
Yeah.
The camouflage shotgun?
Yeah.
That's the one that sits by the Christmas tree.
But I hadn't seen it in, like, a while, so I thought you guys...
No, I didn't get rid of it. It was right there in between the TV and the Christmas tree, leaned up against the wall.
I mean, earlier that day, like, she seemed so happy on Christmas. Like, earlier that day, was there, like, what did y'all do? Like, did she, I just don't understand
We just sat at the house and talked and watched videos and smoked a little bit and drank and just talked. Basically what we do when she, had her off days. She was complaining, like, I don't want to have to go back to work tomorrow. I hate Steven, this and that. And it was just normal conversation all day.
Like, I mean, I hadn't seen any signs or any... She seemed so happy and so excited about getting a car and so excited about traveling this year and so excited about, you know, being able to get a different job, and
I know.
She just seems so excited. Like, I don't understand.
I know. I don't know. What keeps going through my head is, like, maybe if I had just not gone into the bedroom and just stayed in the living room and just, like, given her a hug or something, or said I was sorry and, like, I didn't mean it or something like that, that it could have changed the outcome.
I mean, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't even know, because I talked to her that morning and she seemed fine. You know, we texted every day and she seemed fine. And she was, you know, she said, I had a great day yesterday. It was a great Christmas. And, like, she had so much fun. And so I didn't really worry about, you know, getting in touch with her later or anything. And I texted her when I woke up on the couch and didn't hear back from her. And I don't know.
I don't know either. There's really no, there was no warning that she would do that. Like, the whole day was completely normal. Everything was normal. We just hung out. I was sitting there asking her, like, if she could help me with my Andretti's thing, because I wanted to transfer from being a chef to work in the game area. And she was like, yeah, for sure, Bubby. I'll help you write up your your paper and email it to your boss and everything. And she never did that.
Like, I mean, was there anything, like when y'all were arguing, did she say anything, or did you say anything that maybe, like, I don't know, like.
We had discussed, like, the past few times we've been in arguments, we were, like, this whole arguing and yelling and this and that, like, this is not healthy, this is not good, so if we can't stop this permanently, then maybe we should probably not be together. So maybe it was the thought that we were gonna split up or something that upset her so much or something. I don't know.
And there was, like, no one else there that could have done it, or y'all didn't talk to anyone that you knew that, like...
No. Like, it was just me and her. And it was, I don't know the exact time because I wasn't looking at the clock, but I'm pretty sure it was like 2 a.m. So even Mazda wouldn't have been there because he works from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day. He doesn't have time to sit around with us.
Okay, so.
Did he come by or?
No.
I, like, I don't know. It's just so, like, I just, it's just, I can't believe she, like, I can't believe Haley would do that. Like, I don't believe that she would do that. She just is so worried about everybody else. She worried about Kelsey. She worried about you. She worried about me. She worried about Stella.
I know. She was such a sweet person.
Especially a day after Christmas, it doesn't make sense.
I know.
Especially when she's so happy the day before.
I know. It doesn't make sense to me either. It just feels like a big nightmare. I've been writing to her every day, multiple times a day. Just so it feels like I'm still talking to her. I keep praying and stuff.
I write to her every night. Like, I have a journal for her, but it's just not, you know, and I keep praying for her to come to me in a dream or tell me something.
Me too. I swear, I wish I could run over there and grab my paper. I have two papers that don't have a single centimeter of space left because I've just been filling them up with letters to God and to her, asking, like, if she could just come to a dream and just talk to me or tell me, like, what was wrong or if I could have done anything to fix it.
Yeah, I mean, but...
How? I thought you had said that you got that shotgun taken away. So how could you use that?
They took it away... They took it away when, they took me away. Like, when they came to the apartment, I'm sure they took that away, but I still had it. It was mine, like, legally, you know? Like, I owned it. Haley got it for me as a Christmas present.
Yeah, but I thought you, like, dropped it and they took it from you.
No.
Which gun did they take when Stella said something about you had to shave your beard or something?
I don't know. I don't know anything about that. They do record these things.
Oh, sorry. So, but that's the only gun that was in the house?
Yeah. I did always have it on safety with just a little bird shot loaded into it. Nothing, no slug, no buckshot, no nothing like that. Just a little bird shot. Just in case someone ever tried to, like, kick the door down, I could rack it, you know.
Why was the gun loaded? Why was the gun loaded in the first place?
Because it was for, like, home defense.
But would that do that to her?
Birdshot?
Yeah, I don't know about
that. If it was that kind of, like, close range, then yeah. See, that's what I, like, because when I came around the corner and I saw her right there, nothing was, like, immediately wrong, you know, because her face was going, like, she was facing the door and the Christmas tree. So I came up from behind her. And everything looked fine. There wasn't, like, any damage or anything, you know? So that's when I rolled her over, and I saw something was completely not right because her eye was puffy.
Was she alive then?
No, I rolled her over and I, like, kind of shook her a little bit, and she wasn't responding, and her pupils were real small, and you know how they're usually, like, dinner plates, so that's when I started shaking her real hard, and she still wasn't responding, she wasn't breathing or anything, and I picked her up and I put her on my lap, and I kind of held her head against, like, my chest. And her head didn't feel like, you know, the way it should have and everything. And, she was gone.
So she didn't suffer?
No.
Before that day, seem happy? Did she at least seem like she was happy before she went? Like she was.
Yeah, we had a really great day on Christmas. We went and saw my mom and set up Jasper's little doghouse and put a little caribou hide in there for him. And she talked to Kelsey and everything. Appreciate you. And she made up with my mom, and then we went back home, and we were just like, well, that's great. Like, you know, Dana doesn't hate you, and we're all one big happy family. Because she thought my mom hated her because my mom was, like, saying a bunch of mean things about me. And Haley texted her back and was like, you got to stop treating Brooks like he's your husband, he's your son, and you don't even, like, treat him the way you should. And my mom got really pissed off about that. But they made up and everything. So it was like it was probably one of the best days we'd even had in a while.
Yeah, she always took up for you, always.
I know. even when she shouldn't have, she wrote that big text message and then she sent it. And I came out of the other room and she was like, I told your mom this and this and this. And she was like, I told her she wasn't acting like a very godly woman, and I know I may not be at the same time, but she needs to act right. And I was like, Bean, you can't say that. You can't say that to my mom. She's going to get pissed.
But, you know, we had such a good time that day at Christmas. Like, she was playing and being silly and laughing and, like, you know, I just can't see her going in one day from that to that. Like, I don't understand. I don't
understand either. I think it was probably emotions mixed with alcohol and just a horrible split-second decision.
How much did she drink?
If I had to put it into shots, I would say somewhere around, well, all day, I'd say probably like 15.
And that's over the whole day?
Yeah, over the whole day, starting at around, I'd say like 11, maybe 10, 11.
In the morning?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's about the time she texted me, I don't know, so.
But does she have her little ring near her ashes or anything?
We haven't gotten anything back yet. We haven't gotten.
Does she have what?
Her little engagement ring. I wanted to make sure that she still, like, had that nearby her.
Yeah, we haven't gotten any of her jewelry back, any of her stuff. We haven't been able to go to the apartment and get any stuff, and I don't know. I don't even know when we're able. I don't even know when we're going to be able to do that. I don't know. The police just don't tell us anything. So I don't know.
I know my mom got my truck from the apartment, and I know that there has to be a few things of hers in there. A couple of sweaters or, you know, something like that.
Would your mom mind if I got her stuff? Like if I
I don't think she would, no, but just be prepared for her to bawl her eyes out. I could give you her phone number if you want.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I know we only have a couple minutes remaining on the call, but I know she would love to hear from you.
Okay, yeah, and then, I just don't know, like, I don't know what, I can't figure this out, like, I just cannot, for the life of me, like, figure out what happened between a day and how I could have known what to do more or whatever, but I don't know.
I know. I feel the same way. I wish I could have done something different. Just something that would have changed it.
So that's the gun you saw, like, sitting on the floor next to her. Did you see the gun she used?
No. But then again, I didn't really, like, I didn't just, once I saw her, that was all I was worried about. I wasn't like, well, you know, let me look around. I was just like, baby, what's wrong? Baby, hello, what's wrong? I didn't look around. I didn't see anything. The first I'd even heard that that was what the problem or what had caused it was from the cop. And I was like, that never happened. I was like, she would never even do that. And he was like, well, it did happen. And I guess I was so like delirious that I said like something stupid to the fireman. I was like, I don't know, like, help her. Is she still alive or something? But like, I knew she wasn't. Oh, but let me give you that phone number real quick before this ends. It's 404-395-5151.
You remember 395 and I'll remember 5151.
Okay, I love you guys.
I love you too. We'll come back. Okay.
All right, y'all. I'm not going to say anything about it. Next week's episode, we're going to pick up and we'll discuss it, and then we'll play the third jailhouse interview. And please continue to like and share. Do everything hashtag justice for Haley. So very important. Her murderversary was last week, you know, the day after Christmas, and this, they just need justice. And there's so much more to the story, y'all. But it has to be told in chronological order, and each piece of the puzzle has to go where it has to go. You need to know about all, any little lie, any little contradiction. As they build up, it builds up into an avalanche. Okay. The rocks, the mountain just hadn't fallen on this motherfucker yet. And we're going to make that happen. And we conclude the series and we do the call to action. All right, but Patreon convicts, you're going to get this early release again on Tuesdays like you normally do, the full audio and video. And y'all, if you want to be a Patreon convict, you can go to patreon.com, search Real Life Real Crime, or go to the App Store and download the Real Life Real Crime Community app for free, and you can subscribe through there. Naturally, you can sit here and you can listen to it, but seeing the facial expressions and seeing Miss Barbara and Stella have to look this dude in the face and press him for information, knowing you heard him say they know he murdered her, right? But they're heroes in my book for doing these jailhouse visits and playing books clearly like a little bitch to get the juice out of them. Anyway, I love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Happy 2025. Let's do this. It's our year. And I'm Woody Overton, the host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. Until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See Home Club for details.